Today we began our service by singing an old hymn called Redeemed. Redeemed. I wonder sometimes if we sing songs without really understanding what they're saying, what they mean. What's the word redeemed mean? Here's the words of the song. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child, and forever I am. I'm not sure how many times we said redeemed there, but it'd be a pity if we're singing words that we don't understand. What does it really mean to be redeemed? We may have a vague idea. We know it's something to do with salvation. Even salvation is hard to really define. But do we really understand the significance of redemption, that word? It's not really a word we use too awful much in the rest of the world, but it's a word that's in a lot of songs and hymns, a lot of sermons. You've been redeemed. I titled my message today just that one word, redeemed. That's it. And we're only going to be looking at two verses, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. What we want to learn is that we've been redeemed by blood. Blood. Bought by blood. What an odd thing for those who are outside looking on to Christianity. We're talking about blood all the time, precious blood. It kind of sounds a little gory to understand that when we talk about the blood of Christ, we're talking about the sacrifice of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and what that means. It's my belief that if we better understand redemption, then we'll better understand communion. Today, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper at the end of my talk, and you've been given, or you've picked up at the table, a little wafer of bread and a little cup of juice, remind us of the body and the blood of Christ. If you don't have that, would you raise your hand, and we'll have somebody walk around and hand those out. So keep your hand up as they go. So at the conclusion of our time today, in just about a half hour, we'll be sharing the bread and the cup, and we'll hopefully better understand communion because we'll better understand redemption. So use this next few minutes to prepare your hearts. There's a few more over this way too. He's still coming. I'm going to seek to answer five questions from this text. Number one, what is redemption? Number two, who needs redemption? Number three, what is the cost of redemption? Number four, what is the result of redemption? And number five, how can we experience redemption? So we'll cover those five questions, and it sounds like that's going to be a long message, but actually it's a very short message, because I'm going to give you straightforward, simple answers. Let's begin with number one. What is redemption? I looked it up to get a definition. Here's what it says. To gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. There's the key word, payment. To buy back, to pay a ransom. Being set free by a price being paid. So redemption has to do with an exchange of a price for a freedom. Now, Peter, who's writing this letter to 1 Peter, is writing to Christians living in a Roman world where slavery was common. Now, we don't live in a time of slavery, but that was very common in the early church. Rome had conquered the world and took many people slaves. As a matter of fact, Peter addresses slavery in the next chapter in 1 Peter chapter 2. So we'll be talking about slaves in a month or so. But listen now, slaves could be redeemed. That was a common phrase in that day. A friend or a family member could pay the price to free a slave. It'd be an agreed upon price, a transaction would happen. You'd pay a ransom, you'd pay a payment, and you could redeem somebody out of slavery. So what Peter is doing here is he's using this concept on a spiritual level to teach a spiritual truth. God has made a way for mankind to be redeemed. not slaves. Well, we are slaves. We're slaves to sin. We are able to be redeemed and bought out of that slavery. Jesus paid the full price for you and for me that we might be redeemed. Look at this verse now with that in mind. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We were redeemed not from physical slavery, but from spiritual slavery. We were redeemed not with precious metals like gold and silver, but with precious blood. It's a much higher transaction. So that leads us to the second question. We've seen what redemption is being bought out of slavery. It's paying a price. Who needs redemption is the second question. Who needs it? Every person in the world needs it. Every person in the world is a slave to sin. Ever since Adam, mankind has been enslaved to sin. We have a sin nature that we've inherited. Talked about this futile way of life inherited from your forefathers in that verse. It's something that we're all stuck with, a sin nature. So we're all enslaved to sin. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Have you sinned? Everyone who has sinned, Jesus says, is a slave to sin. Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if all have sinned, and Jesus says all who have sinned are enslaved to sin, so we're all slaves. Every one of us without Christ are under the dominion, under the power of sin. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. None righteous. You can say, well, I'm good. You're not good enough. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but by his mercy he saves you. So we're not good enough. We're all slaves to sin. So it's clear that all mankind is in need of redemption. Every single person. No matter how good you think you are still enslaved to sin. Are you in need of redemption? Hopefully you've been redeemed. Hopefully you can say, I've been redeemed. But if you haven't, Jesus offers freedom from that sin that empowers you. Let's consider the third question. Now, this is the heart of the message. This is where I really wanted to get to. What is the cost of redemption? What is the cost to buy us back? Peter begins by mentioning the wrong price, the wrong cost. Let me look at that verse again. Verse 18, knowing that you were redeemed, not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. You've not been redeemed by silver or gold. You cannot buy your redemption with money. That's what he's saying. We cannot be saved by our wealth, our status, our possessions. Jesus said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Now look at this next question. Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? What can you pay to buy your soul, to buy your freedom? Will silver buy salvation? No. Will gold purchase salvation? He just said it's not by silver, not by gold. Will all the wealth in the world, what if you gain the whole world? Can you buy salvation? No. Money cannot buy redemption. You know, that's actually good news because I don't have much silver. I don't have much gold. I don't have much wealth. So if it depended on me paying for it, I couldn't raise enough money to save my soul. If redemption could be bought, I would not have enough and I would be excluded. Most of you would too. All of you would because we can't buy it with silver and gold. You know what Romans 6:23 says? It says the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. Wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Aren't you glad it's free? It's free to us because it's a free gift. It's available to any person and every person, rich or poor. It's not just for the rich and wealthy. It's for the poor too. Jew or Gentile. It's not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? man and woman, educated and uneducated. Red, brown, yellow, black, or white, all are precious in His sight. Salvation is free to us. It's a free gift, but it wasn't provided without cost. There's a difference here. Now listen, it cost Christ His life to give you this free gift. He paid for our redemption. We didn't pay it because we couldn't pay it. He paid it with His blood. That's what we read here. We saw the wrong price, silver or gold. Not going to work. Now we notice the right price, the only price. Look at that verse again. But with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You see, we just read that the wages of sin is death. The penalty for your sin, your slavery to sin, is you deserve to die eternally. Not just die physically, but die spiritually. You deserve hell. That's what the Bible says. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and everyone, many are on it. Very few find the narrow way. But Jesus steps in and says, you deserve death, but I'll die in your place. I'll die as your substitute. We're going to read a little while in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that He bore our sins on His body on the cross. So Jesus took the sins of you and you and you and you and me and every person in the world. The penalty for all that sin fell on Him. He lived a perfect life. He's the only one who didn't deserve to die. The sinless Jesus Christ on that cross, He bore our sins on His body. Instead of our blood being required, Christ offered His blood to pay our debt. That's what redemption is. Isn't that amazing? I'm reminded of an old song that captures this truth. When I say it, some of you are going to hum it in your mind. I had a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Did you get that last phrase? That's the message I'm communicating today. Jesus paid the debt I could never pay. I couldn't pay with silver or gold or good works. So Jesus steps in and pays the debt. It wasn't His debt, it was my debt that I couldn't pay. Notice how this rugged fisherman describes Christ's blood. Verse 19, but with precious blood. That doesn't sound like a fisherman kind of word, does it? Precious blood. He understood, didn't he? As a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We know that this is a reference to the Jewish sacrificial system. They used the purest lambs, the unblemished lambs, the spotless lambs, not the deformed, not the lame, but the purest, whitest, cleanest lambs were sacrificed for the sins of people. It began all the way back in Genesis with Abel offering a lamb. Remember Cain and Abel? And carried forward. And then as the nation grew, Israel grew, they ended up in slavery in Egypt. And God said, there's going to be a death angel. It's going to come through and kill the firstborn of every family unless you have the blood of a lamb over your doorpost, over the sides of your door. And when the angel comes through, it'll pass over. So they took this pure little lamb. It lived with them for a while. They befriended this little lamb. Then they sacrificed the lamb. Then they spread its blood. Then they ate the lamb. And that night, the death angel came over. Those who were under the blood were safe. The precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless. A little later, when God gave Moses the Old Testament law, there's lots of sacrifices, lots of bringing lambs to the temple. But there's one special day, the Day of Atonement, where they offered a lamb for the whole nation. So with Abel, it was a lamb for one person. With the Passover, it was a lamb for one family. But with the Day of Atonement, it was a lamb for a nation. But a nation's not big enough. When Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist pointed at Him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world. takes away the sin of the world. So a lamb for one, a lamb for a family, a lamb for a nation, but now we have a lamb for the world. And guess who heard that? Peter was there. Peter was one of those early disciples. And when John the Baptist says, "There's the Lamb of God," Peter became a follower of that lamb. Peter became an eyewitness of the crucifixion of that lamb. And now as he writes this letter to us, he refers to the precious blood of the Lamb. He understood what he was talking about. There's nothing more precious, more valuable than the blood of Jesus Christ, than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, there's that word. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So far, we've considered three questions. Number one, what is redemption? It's a buying back. It's a payment made for slavery, for freedom. Number two, who needs redemption? The whole world needs redemption. Every one of us needs redemption. And number three, what is the cost of redemption? The precious blood of Jesus, who was like a lamb led to slaughter. Number four, what is the result of redemption? What is the result of redemption? Well, I'm going to give you the answer. A changed life. If you've been redeemed, you're no longer a slave. Now you're free from bondage of sin. You no longer have to obey its wishes and its lusts. At least that should be the result of being redeemed. Peter reminds us right in the middle of this verse that we've been redeemed from our former life. Look at it again. You may have missed that phrase. Knowing that you were not redeemed, with perishable things like silver and gold, from the futile way of life inherited from your fathers, your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Previous to salvation, we were living a futile life. That's what it says. That word is a word for emptiness, for vain, for aimless. He's saying your life before Christ was really pointless, empty, meaningless. But you've been redeemed out of that and into something much more wonderful. Christ has redeemed us by his blood. He's taken us from slavery to freedom. He offers us spiritual freedom. Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That same paragraph when Jesus said, "You're slaves to sin. If you sin, you're slaves to sin." But he says, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free." There should be a change that happens. You know, I saw this picture. I was reminded of a story, and I looked it up. A story told by Dr. A.J. Gordon. He was a pastor of Clarendon Street Baptist Church in Boston in the 1870s. It's a long time ago, isn't it? But what a great story. One day he met a little boy out front of the church. The boy was carrying a rusty old birdcage in his hands with two birds who were fluttering around in the bottom of the cage as if they knew they were going to be destroyed. Dr. Gordon asked, "Son, where did you get these birds?" The boy answered, "I trapped them out in the field." "What are you going to do with them?" the preacher asked. "I'm going to take them home and play with them, have some fun with them." "What will you do with them when you get through playing with them?" Dr. Gordon asked. "Oh," said the boy, "I guess I'll just feed them to my old cat." Then Dr. Gordon asked the boy how much he would take for the birds, and the boy answered, "Mister, you don't want these birds. They're just old field birds, and they can't sing very well." Dr. Gordon said, "I'll give you $2 for the cage and the birds." "All right," said the boy, "that's a deal, but you're making a bad bargain." The exchange was made, and the boy went whistling down the road, happy because he had $2 in his pocket. Dr. Gordon took the cage out behind the church and opened the door of the cage, and the birds flew out and went soaring away into the blue, singing as they went. The next Sunday, Dr. Gordon took the empty birdcage to the pulpit and used it as an illustration for his sermon. Then he said, "That little boy said that these birds could not sing very well, but when I released them from the cage, they went singing away into the blue. It seems that they were singing, 'Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed.'" They were enslaved, and they were bought out of slavery and set free. That's what God has done for you. When we realize we've been redeemed, it should result in new freedom, spiritual freedom, freedom from the old habits, the old lusts, new joy. It should put a song in our heart. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Has your life changed? You know, the last passage we looked at, 1 Peter, just before this, it says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." God wants us to be different, not enslaved to sin, but enslaved to Christ and holiness. Has your life changed since you've been redeemed? Have you been redeemed? Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:20. "You have been bought with a price." What's the price? The blood of Jesus. You have been bought by blood. You've been redeemed by blood. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Continue on in your sin? No, glorify God in your body. There should be a change that happens when we trust Christ. A noticeable change in the way we live when we realize the price Christ paid for our redemption. It should humble us. He did that for me. Let's close with the final question. How can I experience redemption? How can we experience redemption? The answer is simple: by trusting in Christ as our Savior and Lord. Jesus paid the price of our salvation, paid the price for our redemption. He offers us forgiveness of sin. He offers us freedom from slavery. But we must receive that free gift. Just because he offers it doesn't mean we've taken it. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You need to trust in Christ to receive his forgiveness. Say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for redeeming me out of my slavery. I now give my life to you. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, I will glorify you with my body." I want to close with the words of one more hymn. It says, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." Jesus paid it all. All to him you owe. You owe him your life. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Let's pray. Have you experienced redemption? Have you asked Christ to forgive your sins, to free you from slavery? Have you thanked him for his death on that cross, his blood that he shed? Won't you receive Jesus Christ right now? "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. From this day forward, I will glorify you." Now, Father, as we transition towards communion, thank you for this cup, this bread. Let us be reminded of that sacrifice of your dear son Jesus on that cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Let's take our elements and open it up to reveal the bread. Some churches celebrate the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We choose to do it once a month, usually on the first Sunday of the month, but since next Sunday is Easter, and there'll be a lot of guests here, confusion, we don't want to confuse anybody by them thinking this is some sort of snack. This is a solemn meal. It's a small meal, but it's a solemn meal to remind us of what Jesus did with the bread He said, it reminds us of his body, which was sacrificed for us. If you have children with you, we'd encourage you to monitor their taking of the communion. Make sure they understand what it means to be a born-again believer, trust in Jesus Christ, who's been redeemed. We're celebrating our redemption through this blood. We need to be redeemed to be able to celebrate it correctly. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'll ask you now to open your cup. And again, reading from 1 Corinthians 11. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the ransom, the propitiation, the redemption, the one who bought us out of slavery and into freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.